I'll be reading from Matthew 13, 1 through 9, and 31 and 32.
Okay. Let's stand for the reading of the gospel.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the earth, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." But he put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, I want to start, Brian, you can go to the next slide, with just put it all out there for you from the very beginning of the point of the sermon. So if you have trouble listening, you know, I'm going to give it to you right up front. The point is that there is a kingdom seed which is being sown among us. It's being sown generously by God. And I have a word of caution with that, is that sometimes that seed that sprouts and grows within us can become invasive, and sometimes it becomes more than we thought that it was going to be. You can go on to the next slide. As I said before, I am not a gardener, and so I find it humorous that I am preaching on the Sunday that we're talking about gardening. We do have a garden at home. It's about 20 square feet, just little tiny, and it's full of weeds. We didn't even get around to planting it this year. It seems like one thing after another happened this spring, and we didn't even plant it. It brings me to another point. Those of you that do have a green thumb, by my desk in my office is a plant, and it's dying, and I can't figure out why. I do water it, but if any of you feel led to look at that, I welcome you to do that. We did, though, growing up, I had a big garden. My dad was a gardener, and we worked a lot in the garden. And I grew up on a farm, so I understand a thing or two about the way plants grow and some of the things that they need. So I do have a few things to share. Today's scripture talks about a seed sower, which we could say about a gardener. And the gardener is indiscriminately just throwing seed everywhere. And so it doesn't matter to the gardener whether the soil is good or bad. The gardener is just throwing it out there over and over and over. So it talks about the soils, that there's some rocky soil that the seed lands on and it grows like crazy, but then it dies because there's no root. It talks about the thorny soil or the weedy soil, that all of the seed that starts to grow gets choked out because the weeds take all the nutrients. And it talks also about good soil, that the seed lands on and it finds a place to sprout and to root, and it grows. And the seed that grows, that falls on the good soil, has such an abundant harvest. It says 30 times, 40 times, 60 times, 100 times. It has such a good harvest that it more than makes up for the soil that was bad and that seed that was lost. So there was no harm in scattering seed indiscriminately, because the seed that took root produced so much that it took it overshadowed all that was lost by the bad soil. The interpretation that's most often used for this parable is the one that the early church used, and it's the one that's recorded in the same chapter that we didn't read it, but it just talks about that. It talks about how sometimes we hear the kingdom words, we hear words spoken to us, and sometimes we hear and have faith, and other times we don't. So that parable is interpreted by the early church from the beginning to have to do with how we hear and what we do with the word. And we hear kingdom words all the time. We hear them in sermons. We hear it in a Bible study when we read our Bible on our own or when we're in a small group. We hear it when we are out in nature. We hear it many times. And sometimes we hear it in a still small voice of God speaking directly to our hearts. But we have all sorts of opportunities to hear kingdom words. And so since we have all those opportunities, we also have opportunity to be all the types of soils. Like sometimes we're the soil on the path that we didn't hear it at all. It just was gone. It was spoken and we didn't get it at all. You know, like maybe that's the way it is on Sunday morning sermons sometimes, that like the word is out there, but it doesn't even get into our ears at all. Other times we are the soil that's rocky, and we hear something and we get super excited about it and it just sprouts up in our lives, and then we don't nourish it and it just withers and dies. And then other times we are the thorny soil, or the weedy soil, it says it both ways, where the things of our life just choke out the thing that we heard from God. And then, of course, sometimes we're the good soil, and it takes root, and it grows and blossoms into something amazing that God has done in us. What we don't focus on as much when we hear this parable is what I want to talk about today, is instead of talking about the soil so much, I want to talk about the sower, that the sower is sowing seed generously. So God sends his word to us faithfully and generously. Whether or not we are the hard path, the rocky soil, the weedy soil, the good soil, it doesn't matter. God is constantly spreading the seed over and over and over, giving us words to hear, whether or not we hear it. And then sometimes, like I said, when we become the good soil and it takes root, we then get to be the people that serve and live for Jesus Christ. We hear that word and it takes root within us, and we get to say, yes, I understand that. I've heard the gospel and I believe. We get to say, I understand the plan that God has for my life, or at least a little tiny bit of it. I understand of God's great love for me and for everyone and for the forgiveness of sins, and I want that has taken root in my life, and I am going to join God and grow closer to God. When we do that, we then become the scatterers of seeds. We then are the sowers of seed. That we're not only God spreading seed, but we are joining God and we are spreading seed through ministry. My prayer is that as we spread this seed, that we would be as generous as God is. That we would spread the seed often. That we would spread it to people and all types of soils, whether they are like us or different, whether they are good or bad, that this seed that we have, the kingdom seed, the story of Jesus Christ is spread to everyone, and that God's love is for all is known and shared. In addition to the sower, I also have another observation to share with you. And you can go to the next slide. I grew up on a farm before Roundup Ready soybeans. And so we walked beans, and some of you probably don't know what walking beans is, so I'm going to explain it, because if my kids were here, they're visiting a relative, but if they were here, they wouldn't know what walking beans is other than what I've told them, because they never experienced it. So when you walk beans, you go out to a bean field, and get this, you walk. And while you walk through the field, you have a hook, like that is down here, a bean hook, and you carry that to cut the weeds. At least this is the way my family did it. And so we would go out into a weedy field, which, interestingly, there's not many weeds in that field, but you go out to a field that had weeds in it, And you would each have, we would take 2 to 8 rows per person, depending how weedy the field was and how small the walker was. And we would just go out and you would walk back and forth down the rows or around however the rows were, and you would cut the weeds. And it was not something that I took great joy in at the time. But looking back, I have a different perspective, and I don't remember, well, I still remember a little bit how hot and exhausting it could be, but what I remember are the fun that we had, that our dogs would go with us, and we might be together as a group like this, but we'd see the dogs jump up above, or we'd see the beans wiggling, knowing that a dog was coming close to us, or we would tell stories or sing songs, or if someone had a particular weedy patch and everyone else went on ahead, that person might, you know, pick up some clods and throw it, and we'd all wonder what was going on. But looking back, it was something that was meaningful to me and my siblings as well. But at the time, it was hard work. If you want to go to the next slide. Most of the weeds, like I said, we cut. However, when we encountered Canadian thistles, now these are the words my dad used. I don't know if they're the right words, but we called those on the left Canadian thistles. And that was an invasive weed. And then down here on the right, we called those cuckleburrs. And those weeds we couldn't cut. Dad made us stop, put our hook in the ground, and pull these weeds out so we got the root. He wanted them gone. He did not like these weeds because they would grow and they would be invasive and they would take over a field. The way that my dad felt about Canadian thistles and cuckleburrs is the way I've heard you guys talk about Creeping Charlie. Okay, so if you could imagine in ancient Israel, hearing the parable of the mustard seed, those last two verses that Mary Jo read, instead of being a mustard seed, being something else that we would consider invasive, because in ancient Israel, I've read that the mustard seed was considered invasive. Like Glenn said, it was a small seed, but it could grow and be very big and it could take over. And so they considered it to be rather invasive. So if you could imagine that parable instead being read like this, Jesus saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a tiny seed of Creeping Charlie that someone took and sowed in his lawn. It was just a small seed, but it grew until it covered every lawn in Tipton." Okay? That might get your attention, right? That is invasive. You can go to the next slide. Most of the time, we don't think of the kingdom of heaven as invasive. We might think of it as big because there's lots of Christians and there's lots of churches, but we don't necessarily think of it as invasive because we easily integrate our Christianity into our lives. We maybe develop habits of going to church or praying before meals, giving an offering, saying God bless you or I'll pray for you, and it fits in pretty nicely with the rest of our lives. I don't think that's exactly what the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be like. Sometimes it feels like that and it feels good, but sometimes the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom words that we hear are invasive. Sometimes it penetrates to us in a way that we didn't necessarily like. Sometimes the kingdom of heaven, or as I might refer to it as God's invitation or God's call or God's request that we do something different, is actually invasive, and it actually can hurt. It can require us to make changes that we don't want to make. Sometimes, like the soil, the rocky or weedy soil, we are too busy to even notice. We're distracted. But thankfully to our sower, thanks be to God, that God keeps sowing. And the more God sows, directly speaking to our hearts or through the work of our siblings in Christ, the more and more intrusive that this can seem to us. These words can seem intrusive. Like we might learn quickly or accept quickly that God loves us, but be slow to learn that God cares about the words that come out of our mouth. Another time, someone may accept quickly that God cares about how you spend your time, but be slow to learn that God cares about how you spend your money. Or we may be quick to accept that God loves us and cares for us, but that God wants us to share with others. You know, children learn quickly, usually learn quickly, that God wants them, or that God loves them. It may be slower for them to learn that God wants them to share their toy or be kind to a brother or sister. And those are, there's just countless examples. We are quick sometimes to accept God's plan, but we are hesitant, or sometimes we're just resistant, to accepting other parts of God's plans. We don't want to live with too much of that holy intrusion. We prefer sometimes for it to stay away. Most of us have parts of our lives that we don't open up to God. Maybe it's our career path, or our family size, where we give our energy, or maybe it's the size of our house, or our involvement in the community, or how we speak, or how we tweet, or how we post. There are parts of our lives that we tend to keep away from God. God calls us to examine all of the parts of our lives, every part, in light of his invitation to live a life submitted to Christ. It can be uncomfortable, to say the least. And remember, I'm being general, not specific. I'm not telling you what God is calling you to do specifically. I have no idea what the specifics are of God's call on any of your lives other than my own. But what I do know is that God cares about every single part of our lives. God cares about all of them. And God is redeeming every part of our lives. And not just as individuals, but of our church, of our community, of our city, our world. God cares about all of it. God is redeeming all of it. It's our lives that are public, our lives that are private. Again, individually, corporately, as a church and culture. God is sowing seeds repeatedly, scattering it abundantly for true life. And though it sometimes feels intrusive and its effects are far-reaching, don't lose sight of this. God's harvest is bountiful. God's harvest is bountiful. That means that in your life and in my life, in the life of our church, that though sometimes what God is calling us to is difficult, the harvest that God is creating is abundant and bountiful. And we get to hear the call to participate. I want you to think about this. What seeds is God throwing your way? What is God sowing in your life? What is God sowing in Tipton United Methodist Church? What seeds is God trying to sow in Tipton or in Iowa or in the United States? What seeds is God sowing throughout the world? What about this? What seeds has God gifted you to sow? How can you respond by sowing seeds that God has given you to sow? Can you answer any of these questions? Are you, which type of soil are you being right now? Are you listening? Are you hearing? I think sometimes we hear these questions and God speaks a little bit to our hearts, but we can become like the rocky soil that we hear a little bit, but then we don't go back and explore. I encourage you, go back and explore. Listen, ask God what it is specifically that he's talking to you about. What are the seeds that God is sowing in you? What are the seeds God is asking you to sow around you? And if you have questions or need to process this with someone, please see me or Pastor Jenny or your gig leader or your friend of the faith and just talk through these things. God works through all of us together as a community. Without question, I believe that God is actively sowing seeds in your direction, in your direction, your direction. God is sowing seeds everywhere. And this is a positive message. I know I talked about faith being like Creeping Charlie, which is invasive and may not seem positive, but it is a positive message. There is nothing like the bountiful life that is lived, letting God grow in you. It is not always comfortable. I believe, I have experienced, I know it is not always comfortable. Sometimes it's not even something you want. I understand that. But I also understand that the gift of God is free and abundant and full life, and there is nothing like the life lived submitted to Christ. When we live submitted to God, we grow in bounty and in abundance, and it's beautiful. Will you pray with me There will be a prayer on the screen. Let's pray together. God, thank you for generously sowing in us. Help us respond to your generosity by accepting your invitation to obedience. Soften our hearts and help us say yes to your voice, even when it seems invasive. Break us free from comfort wherever you desire, so that we can be used by you in the work you are doing in the world. Create good soil in us. We pray in union with Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.